So here we're going to talk about real quick. Ministry is the business of people. That's the title I want to share with you. Say, everybody say, ministry is the business of people. So let's go in our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I'm reading out of the ESV, Luke chapter 4. The Master, the Lord Jesus, he actually is, not only is he our substitute, dying in our place, but he's also our example. So as we look at Jesus, 1 Peter actually talks about Jesus being our example. He's our example of how to suffer the right way. He's our example of how to live and please the Father. And so here in Luke chapter 4, let's look at verses 16 through 17. And it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Just a side note, here's Jesus finding who he is in the scriptures. How many know we need to find who we are in the scriptures? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we see the Spirit of God upon him for the focus of people. People, as we think about people, we are the target of God's love. And the Spirit of God anoints us for people. Say, I'm anointed for people. So God saves us by his grace through faith in Christ, and then he anoints us to serve people. The anointing comes upon us for ministers to us for two reasons. One is to make us more like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 talks about how we receive an anointing or unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. And that anointing teaches us and helps us to discern what is of God and what's not of God. That anointing helps set us apart for God. Then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about the Spirit of God coming upon us to serve. Go with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Glory to God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says this. It says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice what that anointing came upon him to do. To heal everyone who was oppressed by the devil and to do some good. How many know that the anointing comes upon us to do good? Amen. It's more than a feeling, it's more than a shake or a jerk, but it is to empower us to serve people. And as we think about ministry, my father who founded the church, Reverend Johnny D. Dixon, he actually coined the phrase, ministry is the business of people. Ministry is the business of people. And by the way, we're all in ministry. Amen. Very few people are called to be behind the pulpit, a full-time ministry in that sense. But we're all enlisted into this great body of believers, the body of Christ, and we're to carry this message to everyone. And so you and I are in ministry whether we like it or not. Amen. I remember being 4 years old. I was called into ministry before I was born, according to Jeremiah, and I began to preach to my mom and my grandmother's perfume bottles. And I preached to them every Sunday, probably. Sunday was our day. So I preached to them, and they received Christ. They received the Holy Spirit. They would speak in tongues. They would like spray, and they was receiving the baptism. It was great. And then I would knock them all down, and they would get slain in the Spirit. I'm like, wow. And I'm telling you, and then the Lord graduated me with some cousins. And so I got cousins, and so I would have Bible studies with the cousins, and I would pretend like I was the pastor, and I would preach to the cousins. And then the Lord blessed me with some friends in the neighborhood. And so I began to have, we were born and raised in Arkansas, and I had like a little picnic. I had a little blanket on the floor. I had a guitar that my father blessed me with. And the only song I knew was "This Is the Day." That y'all know that song? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so I would sing that song. I gathered my friends. I had to be, Mom, I don't know, about seven years old. I gathered my friends around, and they came to the little picnic, and I didn't have no food or anything. I don't know why we called it a picnic. But I began to just sing the song. I said, "We're going to sing together." And I just did what I saw in church and what my mom did with me was have Bible study. And so I would just sing, "This is the day." And I said, "Come on, sing. You know, and they would sing. And then I opened my Bible, and the only verses that I knew was Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I would quote that scripture, and we would read it together. I said, "Unless you come to Jesus, you're going to hell. You're going to hell, buddy." And the kids actually ran back home and talked to their parents and said, "Oh, Dwayne said, I'm going to hell." And the mom, I remember there was one parent, she said, "Yeah, he's right. You need to go receive Jesus." And they came back, and they said, "My mom said you're right, so continue." And so I just shared the word with them. And I'm telling you, just from that, and then as I grew into middle school and high school, I had a ministry where I gave out tapes. I'm dating myself, and I gave out CDs. And so I would make gospel music, and at that time, gospel Christian hip-hop wasn't popular, but I was probably the first person in town that had Christian rap. And the church thought that it was of the devil or whatever, but I didn't care. I was like, "You need to listen to this Christian hip-hop." And many of my friends, actually, there's a couple who are in ministry today because they received a tape or a CD from me in high school. And then my mom and dad allowed me to have a Bible study in their home under the permission with my senior pastor. And so I began to have a Bible study as a teenager. And I began to preach whatever I knew. I didn't know much. And I would preach to them the Bible, and many of them came to Christ and received the Holy Spirit, and now some of them are still serving the Lord. I shared that story to show you that ministry is about people. It's not about title. Way before I was pastor, I was pastoring. And every job that I've been a part of, I've always thought about people. I evangelize, and then I try to pastor people no matter what job I get. I was working at Enterprise at one time, and there was a young man who missed a flight. And I believe it was just God's providence that he missed a flight. And he had several hours. So I'm behind the counter, and I began to just kind of develop a rapport with him. He told me he was from Detroit. He was living with his girlfriend, and I began to witness to him. And he began to listen. I said, "Do you want to receive Christ?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Well, there are cameras right here, and I know God gave me wisdom." I said, "Come with me to the car, because I got to clean the car." So he came in the car, and I led him to Christ. And I want to tell you, he went back to Detroit months later, got married to his girlfriend that he was living with, and now he serves as a deacon in a church. And we're friends on Facebook. He's like, "Thank you, Pastor." And so I just want to share those stories with you just to let you know that we have an opportunity to impact everyone that we come in contact with. And we see that in Acts chapter 10, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus to do some good. God will come upon you. His Spirit will come upon you to do some good. Acts of kindness. A smile will destroy depression over somebody. Just having a smile. It doesn't mean that we have everything going right in our lives. We have a lot of stuff that's not right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And if you're in Christ, there's even more afflictions, because we got an enemy called Satan. And so we stand under the umbrella of the Lord being our shepherd, guiding us and protecting us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can have a smile on our face, even having tears coming down our eyes. Because we got a promise that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. God thinks about people. He goes after people. John chapter 3, verse 16, you're familiar with that scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, by the way, I have King James memorized, New King James, and ESV, and sometimes Amplified, so if I quote a scripture, it could be a mixture. And so we know that that scripture reminds us that God has the world on his mind. He's concerned about numbers. How do you know that, Pastor Dwayne? I'm glad you asked that, because there's a book called Numbers. So he has numbers on his mind. He has the world. The Bible says in Peter that he doesn't want anybody to perish. And I love about your pastors, they're thinking about people all the time. I mean, when I met Pastor Jay a couple years ago, I mean, I've known him, but we got to develop a relationship with Pastor Doug a couple years ago. We were talking, and we were talking about people, the ability to minister to people, thinking about people. God will bless you financially if you have people on your mind. If he can get money through you, he'll get money to you. Glory to God. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus is after people. He saves us by his grace. Then he turns around and gives us his Spirit. And then he gives us the baptism in the Holy Spirit, empowers us to be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "The Spirit of God, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses." And it starts at home, and then it goes into the world. God will take us and bless other people through our lives. You have a story to tell. So start telling your story. God is writing your story. He's in the midst of it. The devil might have tried to write your story, but God interrupted when you received Jesus. And he edited your story, caused it to have a happy ending. You may not have the fullness of that, but in the ages to come, he's going to show forth his glory and his kindness towards us. Amen? So we have a portion of that. We have a little bit of that now. And though we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a great glory coming. That we're going to walk with the King. We're going to reign with Christ. Come on. That our future is great. This will be the shortest time that we'll ever live. This amount of time right here. So the sufferings that we're going through is not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. There's greater glory coming. Can you imagine? The average person lives to be 76, average man. Women tend to live longer in their 80s. That's a short amount of time, but we got all eternity. So why not you and I partner with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit and populate heaven? Fill up heaven. I mean, God, our purpose is connected to the Great Commission, our calling, our giftings, our gifts, our minds, the way that we're wired. It's all connected to the Great Commission. God saves us, and then he turns around and puts us on a mission. And I love the announcement at the end. It says, let's keep the mission moving. Glory to God. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is a powerful scripture. Philippians chapter 2, I took about a couple months just baptizing my mind in Philippians chapter 2. And I read it over and over and over and over and over again and in 2 months. And I was listening to it and trying to understand what the Spirit of God was saying to the Apostle Paul. And I came across this scripture that really changed my life. Let's look at verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news by you. I have no one like him who will be generally concerned for your welfare." Notice this, that the Apostle Paul, he was responsible for writing 2/3 of the New Testament, was anointed by God, and yet he didn't have anybody quite like Timothy. Timothy was born again at a young age. His mom, his grandmother, he carried that faith that was passed through. How many know God will bless you with children just for the sake of passing the faith? Come on. Well, how do you know that? What do you have, Pastor Dwayne? I'm glad you asked. In Malachi, it talks about how has not the Spirit of the Lord brought together the two in union to bring forth godly seed? So God blesses a couple. Now, if you get married older, if you're like in the 60s, 70s, I mean, God, I don't think God expects you to have kids, unless you're Sarah and Abraham. All right. But we see that God bringing couples together, specifically in their younger age, younger time, and they bring forth children. God will bless. There's Muslims are having babies for the sake of passing their religion on. And so we see that Timothy had several generations of the faith. And Paul says, I have no one else to send to you but Timothy. Let's continue. He says, verse 21, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. What are the interests of Jesus? People. People. He says, everybody has their own interests. He says, but Timothy has the interests of Jesus Christ. And then goes on and says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So we see Timothy is concerned about what Jesus is concerned with, and that's people. We can make a difference. I love the fact that you all are involved in the community. Where in New Jersey, we have a national night out, and we've done it once, and we're planning on doing it again this year, where we you know, get together with other businesses and different things and trying to represent Christ. And there's an opportunity to share Christ everywhere you go. Just about every job that I've been a part of, I have shared Christ of the gospel with. I was a teacher at a community college for a few years, and students were getting born again and filled with the Spirit. Just about every job that I was a part of. I did work at a job. Here's a confession. Don't judge me. I worked at a place called Budweiser. And I'm going to tell you, I did it for the purpose of money, because they pay really good money to their employees. And so I was like, I need somebody. Let me get this job. I actually went in for a part-time job, and they ended up hiring me for full-time. So I began to work, and it was a lot of hours. And they began to call me the Budweiser pastor. I don't know how I felt about that. And so so we had different ones. I would just be a witness and a light. And there was a young man that I was just kind of established a rapport with, and he actually began to tell me, can I talk to you? And he was going through a breakup, and I prayed with him and whatnot. It was wonderful. And then there was a Muslim young lady, even though she didn't believe in Jesus, she was like, you know, can you pray to Jesus that we don't have overtime this weekend? So I prayed with her that the Lord would not allow us to have overtime, but we did have overtime anyway. And the different ones, and there was a man who came, he said, you know, I want to talk to you, I heard you're a pastor, can I talk to you about relationships? I'm living with a girl, and we've been living together for about 4 or 5 years, and she wants to get married, but I don't see a difference, and what advice do you have for me? And I told him, I don't know what I was thinking, it was the Holy Spirit upon me. I said, well, she's good enough for you, she's good enough for you to lay down with, but she's not good enough for your last name. And I was like, I said that, Lord. And he was big. He was not a small guy. I was like, oh, God, what did I say? And so he walked away mad. And he told me later he wanted to take a bottle and hit me on my head. And so he began, a couple months later, he says, Pastor, I got my license. I'm going to get married. He got married. He said, there is a difference. He says, thank you, Pastor. And so I'm telling you, everywhere we go, we can make a difference. No matter where we go, whether it's in the worst condition or the best, we can make a difference. God's Spirit is upon us. And there's somebody that God has given you favor with to be a light. The scripture says that in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So there's more people willing to hear the gospel than there are people willing to tell the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, if the gospel that we believe, that we've been saved by, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded those who do not believe. Satan blinds people from coming to Christ. And I want to say that Satan blinds believers from sharing Christ. There's an old guy that, an old musician that my parents turned me on to. He was before my time, but I to this day, I listen to his music, and everybody I come in contact with, I make them listen to his story. His name is Keith Green. And he wrote songs about sharing the gospel. And one song was called Asleep in the Light. He says, the world is asleep in the dark while the church is asleep in the night. I bring people to your door, but you just turn them away. he goes on. I mean, he was radical. He says, you know, God, I want more than your Sundays and Wednesday nights. I want every day, but don't even come at all. I mean, I know that was radical. But he just had a heart for salvation and seeing people receive Christ. And we need to believe this gospel and take it and think about people. Ministry is the business of people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the what? Ministry of what? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How many know that is what we're called to? We have the ministry of reconciliation. Helping people partner with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the message. How many know they don't know? They don't. If they don't hear, they can't believe. So we have to open our mouths. Yes, live the life and open our mouths to declare the gospel. Not just live on the acts of kindness, but also opening our mouths and sharing the gospel. You may say, well, I don't know how to share. Well, what do you know? The blind man says, I was once blind, but now I see. I was once lost, but now I'm found. That's enough to get someone born again. Amen. I was a wretch, lost, and amazing grace came and saved me. How many know that? We have a story to tell. Amen. Jude tells us that we have this common salvation. It doesn't matter how horrible or, and some people think that, oh, they lived the perfect life. We all need Christ. We're all at ground zero when it comes to salvation. We're in debt in our sins, and we need the Savior. So whether you're broke, busted, and disgusted, or maybe you're a millionaire, we both need Christ. Amen? So this ministry of reconciliation, God has given to us. And as we think about this, God has a dream. His dream is to have every nation come together. We see in Revelation that every tribe and every nation represented, and that all together worshiping the Father. How many know that that's the dream of the Father? God's dream is for us to reconcile the world, getting people to receive this gospel, this Christ. Amen. God is after people. He anoints us for people. Ministry is the business of people. People are the focus of our work. People are not interruptions. They're the reason why we exist. I know people, there's songs, different songs that I have sometimes, and I love the fact that y'all sung God-centered and Christ-focused songs here. It's a blessing. I mean, just to remind us, to baptize us with what Jesus did for us. Oh, it just touched my heart. I was like, oh, we're in the right church. Because sometimes people sing songs, they're like, and the songs are like, oh, I'm just so lost without you. And yes, we know that, but it's like, it's more self-centered than Christ-centered. The focus is almost more on our lostness than on his grace, on our depravity more than on his mercy. And so there are songs that people have sung, it's like, it's not, and hear my heart, it's not, songs about, it's not about us, but it's about Christ. But I want to tell you, part of being about Christ, it's about people. If you seek first the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean that you just go up in a mountain and just pray. It means that you get involved in messy relationships. There are few people that God deliver us from. In scripture, there's a scripture that says, the Apostle Paul says, pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And so we're to pray for God to deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. How many know somebody who's unreasonable? You can't talk to them. So this is a prayer that I pray for my sons. Lord, deliver them from unreasonable and wicked men. And then there's another prayer, another group of people that God delivers us from, and that's the strange woman in Proverbs 7. So I pray, Lord, deliver my sons from strange women and strange men. But everybody else is subject for God to deliver you too. Weird people, depressed people, happy people, married people, divorced people, single people, gay people, straight people, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics. God will deliver you to them. He'll give you a job to put you in the midst of somebody he wants to reach. He'll bless you with a house so you can be neighbors with somebody he wants to reach. He'll send you across the country so that you can reach some people. Come on. God is concerned about people. God will bless you with more than enough so that you can have to give to somebody else. He gives us life and life more abundantly. You got some life, he wants you to share that life. You got joy, he wants you to share that joy. Come on, the fruit of the Spirit. You've got self-control, he wants you to be a display of his grace. He has people on his mind. The reason why we're called to be like Jesus, so that others can see of this hope that we have and inquire of this hope. So we can defend the faith and we can stand up for what is right. Part of thinking about ministry to other people, ministry is the business of people, we have to think about who we are and how valuable we are to God. How many know that God has made us a little lower than himself? He has valued, we are big deals to God. Say, I'm a big deal. Sometimes people want to say, I'm just nothing. I'm just so nothing. You know, people say, you know, you did a good job today. Oh, no, it was all the Lord. No, it was the Lord in you. So it's not just the Lord. It's the Lord. You partnering with the Lord. You operating in your grace. If you had a paper to write, did the Lord write that paper? Or did he help you write that paper? Right? The same way with witnessing. You have to open your mouth and share. When people say, again, it's all about God, I understand that, but we also need to understand being all about God is part of being about people, getting involved with people. Glory to God. I'm almost finished. I want to remind you of who you are. You are awesome. You're loved by God. You're the apple of his eye. You are carved in his hands. You are blessed and highly favored. You're the head and not the tail. You're chosen. You're part of the priesthood, the royal priesthood. You're somebody special. Say, I'm somebody special. There's an old song that I heard years ago when I was a kid. It's called, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save their soul. But I'm like, wait a minute, I am somebody. You know, God made me somebody. God made you somebody. He didn't die for nobodies. He died for somebody's. Amen. And so when we understand who we are and that we're image bearers of God, we carry his image everywhere we go. Amen. I'm going to give you an acronym called LIFE. And this represents us being intentional about thinking about ministry is the business of people. The L stands for listen to people. Everybody say listen to people. God has given us two ears and one mouth. So we need to listen twice as much as we talk. The scripture says to be slow to speak, but quick to hear. There's another scripture that says, let our words be few. So we need to talk less. People like to talk. Everybody look straight. Don't look at anybody. We often talk about how when people, you know, they talk to you and they kind of, we call them, you know, they got you in a headlock. Because they just talk to you. You try to get off like, okay, I got to go. Yes. And they just go on and on. And you kind of like, oh, okay, okay, thank you. People love to talk. And they love to talk about themselves. They'll tell you everything that's going on in their lives. Some people, you just meet them and they start talking. They tell you their whole story. I tell my sons, I said, when you meet somebody, you don't just don't go into the intimate parts of your life right away. Sometimes it takes years. You know, hey, I'm good. Oh, I was broken. Oh, they tell their whole testimony. Well, people will do that. Well, one way to keep in mind that people, ministry is about people, is the business of people, is to learn how to listen to people. Developing ministering ears. Learning how to listen on purpose. Sometimes people hijack other people's sentences. So they're thinking about what they're going to say while the person is talking. But let's be intentional about listening to people. People want to be heard and people want to be seen. And that lets them know that they're valuable to us in God. So this week, I want to encourage you to listen to some people. Perhaps you work in customer service and you already do. But instead of just going right to the, trying to bring the solution, learn how to listen. Sometimes people don't want you to solve problems, they just want you to listen. I had to learn that. I've been married to my wife for 21 years, and I had to learn that. Because when she would tell me a problem, I would automatically try to start to solve it. Oh, we need some more finances. I'm thinking about 5 jobs. Instead of just hearing her out, people want to be heard out. I intentionally honor people. The Bible tells us, and Peter talks about honoring people. We need to love people where they are. There's a place of judgment, but most of us are called to have mercy. Mercy triumphant over judgment. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And so what if we display mercy, have mercy on people, that person that just cut you off? You're number one. God bless you. That person that cursed you out, bless those that curse you, Jesus. That person that talks about you, well, you know, maybe I do need to work on myself. A soft word will turn away wrath. How do I honor people? Honor the waiter or waitress that's having a bad day. Honor that boss that is of Satan. That takes all your credit, get all your ideas and take the credit. Honor everyone. Honor those kids. Bless the Lord. I honor you in Jesus' name. Honor your spouse. Honor your parents. What if we just develop a culture of honor, intentionally honoring people? No matter what, I honor you. I don't call you out your name. I respect you. There's a scripture in Peter that says, do not speak harsh, husbands, don't speak harsh words to your wife. Got 4 amens. What if you spoke words of life? Instead of reacting, responding with the love of God. I disagree with you, but I understand because I listen. All right, F, real quick. Focus on blessing people. There's a prayer, Lord, make me a blessing. That's a prayer that you should. I prayed this morning. I've been praying for a while. This is Pastor Jay inviting me. Lord, make me a blessing to abound in grace. Make me a blessing. That's the posture of our hearts. We should pray to be a blessing to everybody we come in contact with. How can we add value to people? If you're close to Jesus, how can I make you closer? How can I add to you? How can I give you some more joy? I want people, when they see me, they have joy. Add value, being a blessing. Focus on blessing others. E, enjoy serving people. Philippians 2 reminds us that Paul or Timothy cared for the interests of Jesus and that he was to serve people with joy. What if we serve people with joy? Put a smile, put on Christ, the Bible tells us. Put on Christ. There's a thing called emotional labor. Emotional labor is that no matter how you feel, you put a smile on, like the flight attendants. Or Chick-fil-A. Y'all have Chick-fil-A, right? I know at one point it was like tricky, but we won't talk about that. How may I serve you today? Except for in Philly, there's a place, IKEA, there's a Chick-fil-A, and my wife and I went there, and the lady was like, how may I serve you today? I said, oh, excuse me, sorry. No, I don't think she said that. She said, what you want? I was like, let me email Atlanta, the home of Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you today? So let's enjoy serving people. We cannot bless God and dishonor people. Honor everybody, include those who don't deserve it. Pray for people, serve people, love people, be a blessing to people. Make it your business to minister to people. When people say, pray for me, one of the things I learned from a wonderful woman of God, she says she'll tell somebody she'll pray for them. As she's walking away from them, she'll pray for them so that she won't forget when she gets home. I'm gonna confess my sins this morning. So there's times that people say, pray for me, and I forgot, whether it was on a conversation or on the phone or a text. And then I come back to them like a couple days later. Oh, thank you for praying for me. Oh, God worked it out. And I did take the credit. Oh, you're welcome. And the Lord said, you know you didn't pray for him. You're right. But what if we did pray for him? And taking a moment, say, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna lift you up before the Father. That was like my fifth one. How to share the gospel effectively. The first one is to understand the gospel. Understand, we need to baptize ourselves with the gospel. Preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Number two, seize every opportunity to share the gospel. Look for opportunities. Remember, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So a prayer is like, Lord, make me an effective laborer. Lord, put me in a place so I can sow, I can plant the word, or I can water the word, or I can be on the other end and receive them into the kingdom. Lord, help me to take every opportunity. The next one is, we talked a little bit about this, to pray for people. Specifically, pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord would send laborers. So when someone is not born again, pray that God would send the right people to them, the people that they would hear. Lord, in the scripture in Matthew 9, where it says, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers, that word in the Greek is to thrust people into the harvest field. So you're praying specifically, somebody thinking that they're getting a promotion just because of their skill set, but God is promoting them because of your prayers for that person that needs to hear them in that promotion, in that position. So God will move on the hearts. So you're praying, Lord, I pray for that you will send the right people. God will send somebody that they have so much favor with them that they'll begin to share the gospel. Begin to target them in prayer. Lord, send the right people. Unbelievers need to receive salvation. Believers need encouragement. So send people to evangelize the lost and to encourage the saints. The next one, tell the people the truth in love. The goal is not just to scare people out of hell, like, oh, you're going to hell, buddy. But you want to share it in love. Thinking of the end, being willing to tell the truth, even if it means that they cut you off. The next one is be merciful. The next one is to minister hope to people. How many of people need hope? Next one is to make time for people. Be present with people. Sometimes it's good just to turn off your phones. Instead of social media, just like, you know, I'm going to be present. I'm going to give you my full attention. And the last is be who God called you to be. That is the ministry of people. As we think about that, thinking about people this week, even today, you'll have opportunities. Somebody cut you off, took that parking space. Somebody who cussed you out, somebody who did you dirty, somebody, You have all these opportunities to be who God wants you to be and be in that ministry of reconciliation. How can I add value to people? How can I bless people? How can I listen and honor them? How can I build them up? God is concerned about people. He's not only concerned about the lost, but he's also concerned about the believers. Sometimes people go to the extreme. It's all about souls, 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 souls. But he's concerned about the souls that are in the church, in the kingdom. So it's not like he's just concerned about the lost. Let's get the lost, the lost, the lost. It's the lost and the found. It's those who are blind and those who see. He's concerned about everybody. He wants the whole world. God is after the whole world. You hear what I'm saying? He wants the world to receive Jesus and to experience this life in the kingdom. Amen. Close your eyes. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Duane, I'm not born again. I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Jesus died in your place. Nothing you can do can make yourself right with God. It's only Christ that saves. He died in your place. So if you're here and you say, I want to receive Jesus. I've never experienced Jesus. I don't know this Christ you talk about. I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus died in your place so that you can receive his salvation that he provides through his life and his death and his resurrection. Is there one here? Perhaps you once did receive Christ and you want to come back to the Lord. You found yourself walking away. Is there anyone here who will either want to receive Jesus or rededicate your life to Christ? Is there one? Is there one? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for everyone here that you would have them to put these things into practice this week and for the rest of their lives, that they'll look for opportunities to bless people, to add value to people. Father, let's pray right now. Let's pray for God to give us some opportunities to witness this week. Come on, just within your own self, just pray. I'm gonna pray a general prayer, but just pray for opportunities. Father, I pray that you'll give us opportunities this week to be a witness, to be a light, to share this gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would give us opportunity. Give us, Father, help us to be effective witnesses, effective laborers, Lord. Father, you called us into your kingdom out of the darkness into your marvelous light. Father, you've placed us into the body of Christ. And Father, we're part of this body, this great body of the anointed one. And Lord, we ask that you would give us opportunities. May we seize every opportunity to share the good news of Christ. Father, you anointed us for people, Father. May we bring healing. May we bring deliverance. May we bring hope. May we bring joy. May we bring peace to people this week like never before, Father. Help us in Jesus' name, Father. Oh, God, give us boldness. Father, we pray for holy boldness to share our story, to share our testimony, Father. Oh, help us to make a mark on this world, Father. Oh, Father, help us to be intentional in everything that we do, Father. Help us to understand this gospel. Help us to live out this gospel in Jesus' name. Oh, give us favor. Oh, in the name of Jesus, give us favor with people that we may be an example, that we may be a light. Come on, let's pray for that. In the name of Jesus, give us, oh God, give us favor with people, that we may add value to them, that brother, that sister in Christ that need encouragement. Give us favor that we may speak a word of exhortation and joy and encouragement. Oh, Father, give us the boldness to speak to the lost and to witness and to be bold in our faith, to defend this faith, to stand up for the faith in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, help us. May we bless and honor those who are in authority over us. Oh, Father, may we honor them and bless them and add value in Jesus' name. May we invite people to church. Oh, a number of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, may we bring people to church and add value to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to bring people to church next week and every week. God will give you extra gas money to go by and pick somebody up. He'll bless you with extra money so you can take them out. You say, hey, I'll take you out to eat after church. You can just come with me. And he'll make sure the money comes to you because he wants them to come and hear the gospel and be born again. Thank you all.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.